This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, it's VSiN, the sports betting network, as we say hi on a Tuesday trade deadline, Major League Baseball. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Where the hell you been? I'm back. Trade deadline, got plenty to do. Today's going to be awesome. 3 hours ahead of us, of course, the dangerous duo back in Las Vegas, Dustin Sweetelson and Amal Shaw, have done an exquisite job while I was gone for the month of July. So I appreciate you both as partners, as people. Thank you. It's great to be back. I'm not going to get syrupy because we do have breaking news as we start up a Sharp Money here to start up August. I didn't even know that we have a Verlander move. Okay, that was the white whale. That was the big fish, boys. Would he or wouldn't he be moved? Remember, Justin Verlander, 40 years old. The Mets are a complete catastrophe, big guy. And he has a no trade clause. When you get into your 40s, just ask me, ask Amal Shaw. Sometimes life takes precedent over work. So whether or not he would move, you know, there's a big difference between living in New York City with your supermodel wife when you're rich and living in New York City as a 25-year-old like I did when you're poor. Okay, it's fun when you're rich. Breaking news, but we do have breaking news. And that is Justin Verlander has been traded. Amal Shaw, I say hi to you. Dustin Sweetelson, I say hi to you. And Dustin, we go to you with the breaking news.
Cue up Diddy and Skylar Gray because Justin Verlander is coming home. He's coming home. He's going back to
Detroit Tigers?
Back to Houston.
wait, hold on a second. First off, he's my favorite pitcher of all time. No hitters, the whole entire gamut with the Detroit Tigers. When you say Justin Verlander is going back home, you're either talking about Virginia where he grew up or the Detroit Tigers. Amal Shaw, he's headed to your team that I know you like a lot, the Houston Astros. Of course, they have issues with the injuries. First off, hi, it's great to see you. Secondly, let's get a reaction. Verlander on the move to Houston.
Great to have you back, but I got to correct one thing. Having lived in Dallas, we are not supporting Houston down in down there. So, but there. You're absolutely right. Houston Astros, what a great move for this team. Right on the cusp of potentially catching the Rangers last week. Framber Valdez gets shelled at home, which is a bit shocking, but this team is right there. And I love the fact that both of these teams in Texas are making moves to potentially get themselves back in this position. And what have the Astros made? Only like 6 or 7 straight ALCSs. I mean, it's incredible what the run has been. A little bit's been negated by the cheating scandal, but again, you can't take away their accomplishments. Patrick, I love this acquisition. You followed Verlander his entire career. You know what he's capable of. What has he had? 3 no-hitters in his career, I believe. This guy has been elite for a decade and a half, almost 2 decades now. He has been tremendous, and I think it'll only help this rotation. Think back to what we saw last year with Verlander and Framber. Both guys were Cy Young candidates. And once again, now you've got top of the rotation guys who, to me, this becomes the best combination once again in baseball.
Surefire Hall of Famer. He is a Pac-Man when it comes to the innings pitched. Of course, just eats innings. That's what he does. He's a horse, never gets injured. He's going to be 41 in February. Now, here is the sticking point, and this is why the Dodgers and maybe the Baltimore Orioles, who are young with prospects coming out their eyeballs, this is maybe why they didn't want to trade for Verlander. Remember, he's on the hook for 2 years, $92 million. If he hits 140 innings pitched next year, Dustin Sweetelson, he can opt into that 2025. He'll be 43 years old. You know who doesn't care? The Houston Astros. Amal Shaw just outlined it. They've been great for a while now. However, the starting pitching is an issue. Garcia, McCullers Jr., had season-ending elbow surgery a few weeks ago. Christian Javier just hasn't been quite the same. They needed a horse. They got a horse, the Astros and Verlander.
Yeah, and for Justin Verlander, I believe had a no-trade clause. He was going to have to go somewhere that made sense for him, somewhere that he knew he could contend for a World Series, and somewhere where he was going to be comfortable living. He grew up near Baltimore, you know, about a 2-hour drive in Virginia. But Houston is a place he won a World Series with. He understands what's on the line here. I think the familiarity mattered here. And one thing from a betting standpoint that I think is interesting is the market never over-adjusted on the Astros. They always anticipated Houston was going to be in the mix, even when they scuffled out of the gate this season. They're the 3rd shot on the board on DraftKings right now, 7-1 behind just the Dodgers and the Braves, and rightfully so. It's almost like the betting market anticipated a move like this coming down for Houston. You put him on the front end of that rotation for the next 2 years. I think that's a big piece of this trade, is you're not getting a rental. You're getting a guy who's on your roster for 2 years, and maybe, unfortunately, as you mentioned, that player option for the third year. I think it changes everything about how the Astros line up. It's not just a regular season move. This is a postseason move. Justin Verlander is brought in to be that guy at the front end of the rotation to kick things off in the playoffs and send a message at the beginning of every series.
If you're just joining us, it is official. It looks like Justin Verlander is on his way. He's familiar with Houston. The Astros get it done, had to make a move. They did make a move. That division is gettable. Now, the Houston Astros are one storyline. I was flying back from Michigan. There's so much shtick I wanted to do to open the show, and yet a big bomb is dropped on us with Verlander. We'll get into plenty of it as the show unfurls a little bit here. But Amal Shah, I was flying back. Remember when I was flexing that I was going to fly first class to Paris? That didn't happen. As a matter of fact, I flew in the middle seat on Spirit, where they put a nice piece of plywood down in the middle seat, and I flew back from DTW to LAX, that's Detroit for the kids, back to LAX. And it was nice because my neighbors, one to the left and one to the right, both decided we were at the beach, took their shoes and socks off. Them dogs were barking the whole way, but while we were flying back, I did have an opportunity to come up with the four storylines and the four teams that matter in Major League Baseball in 2023, and we'll get to those in just a little bit. But again, I know this isn't necessarily your team covering sports in Dallas, but it is a team you have a lot of respect for in Houston. What does Verlander do for them now moving forward?
Well, I think there's a few things. You guys both brought up the point he's going back to Houston, which is crucial. This trade, he doesn't have to do anything. I'm guessing he probably still owns his house in Houston. Just an easy move right back there. And you get there, you get settled, then he can come right into the middle of this clubhouse without skipping a beat. I mean, we're only 8 months removed from him having been a Houston Astro. This helps immensely. This team is right there. You go from a non-contender to a contender, and it just changes the dynamic. Look, I can promise you, Framber Valdez probably will not care that he's going to start game two of the postseason. He'll be just fine with it. This is a guy that has been a tremendous pitcher for the last couple of years. You've got an absolute horse. You said it best. He's a Hall of Famer. It's not only he's a Hall of Famer, he's an elite pitcher. You know, we talked about top five pitchers for our generation, you and I did, about a month and a half ago. Verlander didn't make my top five. I don't think he made your top five, but we had him at like 6 or 7 or 8.
That's correct.
Right? He is right there. That's how dominant he has been. And you think about it. For a team that right now has scuffled a little bit, they're very, very good. To me, the acquisition of Justin Verlander changes everything. We looked at Baltimore. They could be the team to beat in the American League. That no longer is the case. Texas with the acquisition of Scherzer, no longer the case. The Houston Astros and the road to the World Series to potentially face Atlanta is going through Houston.
We're showing the board right now. The Astros 8-1 World Series DraftKings. Make sure you go check out DraftKings. I got plenty on DraftKings coming up as well. Right before the show started, you saw Matt Youmans and Mr. Murray. They were doing the college football preview. That's because we have something very exciting going down at VSiN and at DraftKings, frankly. We've got our college football betting guide coming out in just a little bit. That's coming up on Thursday. Adam Burke, he who kind of oversees this with others, is going to join us on his regular spot here on Sharp Money coming up in just a bit. He's done so much good work on this as well. Wes Reynolds, who kills it on every guide, is going to join us in just about 52 minutes. He killed it as well. And I just wanted to give an anecdote. I was back home in Michigan, and when you go home, you know, you see a lot of friends and family, and sometimes it's a little overwhelming. I had an opportunity to go back. I won't give names or networks. I had an opportunity to see a lot of my old coworkers that work in local radio there in Detroit. And when I say local radio, the station's a freaking monster. And I can tell you, and this isn't Sharp Money, let's put Sharp Money to the side. I can tell you, to a man and to a woman, they all said they get their gambling knowledge and edification. This is the monster station. You could do your homework in Detroit. They get their betting knowledge from VSiN. And every single one of my former coworkers signs up for every guide. And I said, I got an advanced copy of the college football betting guide. And I know I get syrupy about this stuff because these people work so hard behind the scenes here at VSiN. This college football betting guide, when you talk about transfers and you talk about realignment and you talk about new head coaches, I don't know them all. If there's ever been a more poignant year for one of these guides for us to do the legwork for you when it comes to the specifics, and that guy drops coming up on Thursday.
Well, think about this. I believe there's 60 or 61 offensive coordinator changes in college football.
Wild.
So think about how much information you have to be able to gather. I tell you, Patrick, I went through the guide. And, you know, I've not been one who advocates for a lot of things. Everybody's got their own style. No, I'm being honest. I got to tell you, I get Athlon's, I get Lindy's, I get Sporting News, and I look at these. The reason I get Sporting News and Lindy's is just for the sake of, you know, been waiting 11 months for this thing to come out. It's like, I love when they go to Barnes & Noble's. Would you like to sign up for the card? I'm like, no, I'll be back next July. I don't need anything until then. Thank you. The point is, this guide with Wes Reynolds coming on the show today, I was reading some of the previews in the Big Ten. These guys have done yeoman's work. Matt Eumanns gave out a tremendous play on Wisconsin, the over 8.5. This number should be 9 or 9.5. Grab on that while you have an opportunity. But if you are a college football bettor or an NFL bettor, obviously we already had the pro football guide out, but the college football guide is unbelievable. Maybe you don't follow the smaller conference, you follow whether it's the SEC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, whatever it may be. This is going to help you break things down a lot easier. You don't have to sit there and go digging into what Washington State is. They have provided you the information right there.
What I love about Amal Shaw, nothing changes in a month, whether you're his family, whether you're his friends, whether you're his coworkers, he's full of candor. So if you put out a bad college football betting guide, he's just not going to say anything.
That's
or
very
he's
going
to bomb on you. So that cosign right there from Amal Shaw, look at the big guy. That cosign right there from Amal Shaw, you know the guide is lit this year. VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, so Verlander to the Astros. When we come back, can I kind of say hi? I'd like to
Absolutely.
Say hi to you two. I've got a ton of notes I want to get into. What did you two learn during the month of July? And as we go to break, again, Verlander to the Astros, I want to send a special shout out to B-Dubs, Ben Wilson, Jeff Parles, Dave Ross, and if I'm missing anybody, thank you seriously for sitting in for me for the month of July. John Goulet on Microsoft Excel trying to fit in 4 straight weeks of a host. Hell of a job by the Frenchman. We're back. Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The big guy asked me, do you know about best ball on DraftKings? I said, take a second. I'll tell you about it. Want to get in on all the fantasy action, but you're sick of managing your roster, sick of player injuries ending your season? Well, check this out. Best ball on DraftKings. You get the best of your team all season long this year. Best ball on DraftKings is bigger than ever with $10 million. Wow. Guaranteed cash prizes up for grabs for a limited time. You can join DraftKings' largest best ball contest ever and get your first entry back in DraftKings dollars as soon as the draft is finished. Act now before this offer expires. So here's how you start. Download the DraftKings app. Use the code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P. Enter DraftKings Best Ball Millionaire Contest and snake draft your team for the season. Each week, you'll automatically rack up points from all your top scorers. No ads, no drops, trades, or I should have played him instead. Again, teams with the most points by the end of the season will have a shot to take home $1 million in the top prize. So what are you waiting for? Head over to DraftKings, download the app, and sign up with the code SHARP and start playing best ball today. If you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. One per customer opt-in required. $10 entry fee bonus issued as $10. Age and eligibility restrictions void where prohibited. See DraftKings.com/promotions for details. He is Amal Shaw. He's Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money, and we're back. It's great to see the boys as we get you going. Again, I didn't even realize this. We were dealing with some technical stuff, but right as the show was starting, and over at VSiN.com, Adam Burke, who's going to join us on the show coming up in just a bit, is essentially live tweeting at VSiN.com, keeping you updated with everything that's happening with the trade deadline. That comes up at 6 p.m. Eastern time. The big deal, was he or wasn't he going to get moved? That is Justin Verlander. You know this, Amal Shaw. If you're in a series, he can give you 2 starts. That's all that matters for a horse like Verlander, even at 40. He's going to be 41 in February. Again, he was traded and he waited. Remember, he had a decision to make when he was traded in 2017 from Detroit to Houston, and it was the waiver trade deadline. And he waited until 11:59:59. Of course, midnight was the deadline. He was doing time shtick. We all do it. And Verlander said, I accept the trade to Houston. Well, he had a no trade with the Mets, who had been a freaking disaster. I mean, they spent like $1/3 of a billion, and all of a sudden they're just unloading everybody. Not only unloading everybody, paying people to take Hall of Famers. and now Justin Verlander is on his way back to Houston. Does it make them at 8-1 a legit World Series contender? I understand it's an obvious question, but I want you both to answer it. Amal Shaw, we'll start with you.
Absolutely. I think they become the prohibitive favorite now in the American League. The experience, the talent this team has. Remember, they were dealing without the fact that Yordan Alvarez was injured. Also, Alex Bregman had been struggling the first half of the year badly. Jose Altuve had missed some time. Tucker had been in and out of the lineup of late. But this is a team that, to me, is now in a completely different position with Verlander being added to this roster. It changes everything. Think about this. I don't know if the Padres are going to make the postseason, but I love their 1-2 combination of Snell and Musgrove in the postseason. Now Houston, clearly in the American League, without Jacob deGrom being healthy for the Rangers, has the best 1-2 combination in the American League, for my money, in the whole all of baseball.
Let me check the big guy's pockets for those future tickets. I don't believe the Astros are in the mix. So El Bitter, Dustin Sweetelson, what's up?
No, and I've got basically every other team on the board. The market never dipped low enough for me to jump in. They've always been pretty short. What's going to hurt me as a Mets fan is if we're going to see a postseason matchup where it's going to be Rangers-Astros and we're going to have Scherzer v. Verlander in the postseason, the Mets are nowhere to be found.
Ranger, that would be fascinating. All right, boys, so let's do this. We've got Ben Hartsock, of course, former tight end, SiriusXM over at Ohio State, somebody that Amal Shaw, I'm sure, knows. He's going to join us. We're going to go over the guide. Listen, the one cool thing about this week here on VSiN is every show, once an hour, we're going college football. It's a good job by Goulet and the management team coming up with this idea. Look, we know where our bread is buttered. It's football. Hey, by the way, you do realize we have football coming up on Thursday. Ain't nobody going to play, but it doesn't matter. It's NFL football in Canton. Man, I love freaking August. Now, here's what I have. I've got Scherzer to the Rangers. I've got Giolito. Amal, interrupt me if something stands out, to the Angels. Lance Lynn to the Dodgers. That's what the Dodgers do. They'll get Lance Lynn. They'll turn him into a superstar. Trust me. Montgomery goes to the Rangers. Jordan Hicks from the Cards to the Blue Jays. Savali to the Rays, which is interesting. Now, I have this, Amal. The Padres are tripping because they think they're going to make the wild card. The Blake Snell and Juan Soto conversation is off the table. Looks like they're going to stick around, including Hader. How about Stroman? How about Bellinger? How about the Cubs? How about Eduardo Rodriguez, who has a minimal no trade with the Tigers, but he's actually been pretty good, Amal, and Michael Lorenzen as well, potentially being moved. What stands out about who's landed where and who potentially could be moved?
Well, Aaron Savali going to the Rays is a good addition for them, but they needed a bat. That's where I thought they had some areas of concern. This team has struggled offensively in the month of July, 7-16 overall, their record. The Toronto Blue Jays adding Jordan Hicks in the back of the bullpen. I like that a lot. Bichette right now, day-to-day with the knee injury. They bring in Paul DeJong as well. Look, Paul DeJong's not a household name for many people, but I think he'll still be somebody that can add a piece at times to the lineup. Overall, there hasn't been a move or an acquisition outside of Verlander going to the Astros that really, to me, sets off the alarm bells in a positive manner. Rich Hill, I think, is going to the Padres. Lance Lynn to the Dodgers, as you alluded to. But in terms of the Padres, and I know I've been banging the drum on them for a long time, maybe because I'm being stubborn and I picked the Padres to get out of the National League before the season started. I still think, based on their schedule, because Patrick, they play all these teams, Philadelphia, Arizona, the Marlins, the Brewers, all these teams in front of them. So they're going to have some opportunities there if they can make hay in those head-to-head matchups. They've got an opportunity. I'm a little bit surprised, though, with the Cubs not moving on from Marcus Stroman and Cody Bellinger. I thought this was a great time to move on. Bellinger, to me, would be potentially the best field position player that somebody could acquire. He's a plus-plus center fielder. He has had a good year at the plate, yes, where sir. He has struggled for 3 years post-shoulder injury with the Dodgers. So I thought Bellinger was a bat that somebody could go get. Gives you power, gives you speed, and then that great defender. So I'm a little bit surprised by the move by the Chicago Cubs. But it tells me one thing, and with all due respect to Dustin and cheering for the Atlanta Braves, I know he's not a Braves fan, but he respects their success this year. And guys, as good as Atlanta is, Strider and anybody else you want to throw behind him in that pitching rotation, these guys are not elite. They're very good. The offense is elite, but this team can be beaten in the postseason. This is not a team like the 2000 Yankees that won 114 games and is going to win the World Series.
Hey, big guy. I could have went away for a month. I could have went away for 10 years. One thing's for certain. taxes, and Amal Shaw was going to be pointing to that Padres week schedule the rest of the way. My gosh, the team's 52-55. You play 162. Over the weekend, they sweep the first-place Rangers, and all of a sudden, they think they're the 84 freaking Tigers. If there was one thing that I knew was guaranteed was him pointing to a schedule, whether it's Georgia's schedule being weak, whether it's the Padres' schedule lightening up as the season progresses, my goodness, it's good to be back. The big guy.
I mean, but we all have those things in sports that we can't quit. And Amal just cannot quit these Padres. He's true loving. It's deep in his soul. He's singing Luther Vandross to them every night before he goes to sleep.
And
Whitney, sing it for us. I will tell you right now, though, there's a problem. See, at least you're a Tigers and a Lions fan. You're a diehard fan. My problem is I'm a Buckeye fan, which is good for about the first 10 weeks of the season. And then somewhere along the line, they'll squander the season. I don't have a baseball team. I don't have an NFL or an NBA team. At least let me find someone I can hitch my wagon to. And at least Blake Snell hopefully gets home at 35-1 for Dustin and I to win the Cy Young. I don't know if that's going to come to fruition, but I can tell you right now. And by the way, why didn't you reference the 84 Padres? At least they got the World Series. I know your Tigers murdered them, but give the Padres some respect.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Snell tickets have, because today is massive.
Yeah.
I was very scared because he is probably my second biggest liability behind McClanahan for AL Cy Young. The fact that they added, now they didn't add much. They added Rich Hill and G-Man Choi, but they're adding and not subtracting. That means Blake Snell is staying in the National League, which means if he can somehow keep this pace up, he is absolutely in the top three for the Cy Young from here on out.
First of all, he's in the leadership right now. I want to correct one thing before you get me in closed tabs. It was the 98 Yankees, not the 2000 Yankees.
All right, take it easy. But the Padres, they did play the Tigers in the 84 World Series as well. So you were right about that. Now, I want to say this. One, I have, coming back from Michigan, we've got to talk about the Lions at some point today. I can't wait another day because the want for this team to be good is guttural. It's visceral. I've never seen anything like it. Dan Campbell could run for governor of Michigan and win in a landslide. They think this team is legit. They're plus 140 in division over at DraftKings. And something else, an admission on my part, big guy and Amal. Dustin, you're going to love this. So I have a nephew. His name's Landon. He's 14 years old. I could not stop starting sentences like this to Landon. Listen, Landon, I'm the type of guy. I couldn't stop doing I'm the type of guy shtick.
What
and he
happened?
Kept on going, yo, you're kind of snapping. But let me ask you a question. What's this I'm the type of guy stuff? Why do you keep telling me about yourself before you finish your sentence? And I go, it's a long story. It has to do with this Indian guy, this handsome kid back in Vegas. But let me just explain something. I'm the type of guy that snaps, okay? That's what I'm the type of guy. And he's like, you're weird. I am, I assure you.
By the way, go ahead, sorry.
No, but Michigan is Big Ten country. Ben Hartsock's going to join us. We're going to get into the guide. Go ahead. Finish it off.
I want Dan Orlovsky on the show so we can take the Chicago Bears to win this division.
Dan Orlovsky loves everything that's ever been created more than you love ice cream. We're back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Fired up this Thursday, Hall of Fame game and VSiN. We dropped the college football betting guide, power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pro, as in become a VSiN Pro subscriber and get all access to our betting tools, betting splits, and the 2023 college football betting guide. Thursday's release coming up in 2 days of the college football betting guide and our previously released, remember, the NFL betting guide already dropped. We'll have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year. The only way to get the guides and everything we offer is to become a VSiN Pro, and you can do that at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, we got you back, Sharp Money. Amal Shaw, Mr. Ohio State, is going to have to take a seat because the real Mr. Ohio State joins us now. Ben Hartsock, of course, SiriusXM host on Big Ten Radio, former Ohio State and NFL tight end. You can find Ben. He does a great job over at SiriusXM, but you can find him on Twitter at Ben Hartsock. Hi, Ben. How you doing, buddy? Good to see you.
Doing well. Doing well. We're starting to talk about football, to bed with all this realignment, to bed with all this NIL and transfer portal and Congress. Let's talk ball, boys. Let's talk ball.
It does feel, it's weird. What are we, just 24 days away from kicking off? It once that calendar hit August 1, it's like a different mindset, Ben. Now, let's talk about the mindset for the other teams in the Big Ten. Big Ten changes coming, of course, USC and UCLA next year. But this year, you look at the betting market, more of the same, you would assume. Ohio State, of course, plus 165, and Michigan plus 170 in conference. The third betting favorite is Penn State at 6-1. Do Michigan and Ohio State deserve to be that big time favorite in conference?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of see Michigan and Ohio State, and I will throw Penn State in the discussion as when you just do right now, I think all you can do is a talent composite analysis. If you simply look up and say, okay, which O-line group would I take? Which wide receiver group would I take? Right. Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State, I think are all in the same weight class. Now, fresh off of coming from Big Ten Media Days in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium, I will say those Michigan boys are walking with a little hitch in their giddy up. Like, they have got some swagger. Blake Corum, the running back's wearing velvet coats like he's coming to America. I say this about Michigan. They have had talent. You know, you can speculate where their recruiting rankings have been, but like for history, if you study sports history, like the 4 minute mile and Roger Bannister, it was like this ceiling that they thought no human will ever break the 4 minute mile. But then Roger Bannister did it. And the moment that Roger Bannister did it, there'd be like dozens of other world-class athletes broke through. It was kind of like a mental block and they got unlocked for the 4 minute mile. Michigan players, I say, are kind of have broken through that mental block, and they are they're wearing it well. And I hate to say that as a Buckeye, but they feel like a team that have the talent, and they also have the advantage of this like superpower of like, yeah, we can't be beat. And it's what I see to another extent with Georgia football players, but Michigan is walking with a ton of swagger right now.
Well, you know, you summarized it perfectly. I think both these teams have a great opportunity to be very successful this year. And when you look at this league, Ben, I believe the national champion is going to come out of the winner in that game, November 25th in Columbus. When you look at the inexperience at quarterback, how much of a concern do you have for Ohio State? And then J.J. McCarthy, is he a guy that can win a game against Georgia, Alabama, or potentially USC or someone like that?
Yeah, it's interesting what Michigan's doing to try to overcome their struggles in the college football playoff. This is how, like, the rubric of relevance is kind of fascinating, right? It's Michigan's conference, but they've really done nothing in the college football playoff, and so they've implemented this quote beat Georgia drill that they're doing every day of the week during the season. That as a Buckeye, I'm like, good, keep focusing on Georgia. Don't worry about Ohio State. That plays right into our hands.
Real quick, did they beat TCU? I missed that game.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
It's a whole thing. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, right. It's funny how those things work out. So I think J.J. McCarthy has that. You don't know till you know, but he certainly has some of those intangibles that I think if given the full, as long as they don't hamstring. Last year was like a spoonful of a time at a time each week for J.J. McCarthy's development. Now there should be no restrictions. And how will he handle that? I think he can do it. But the problem is their featured wide receiver might be Colson Loveland, the tight end. And so that's not something that gets me super jazzed up for Michigan fans to say that I would push in with them. But I think he's got that kind of talent. And then looking at Ohio State, who's got, you know, we're watching all these blue bloods, Georgia and Clemson and Ohio State and Alabama get new quarterbacks. Ohio State, just in four cycles, you go from a historic team that has acceptable but not elite quarterback play to now it's first round or bust, from Dwayne Haskins to Justin Fields to CJ Stroud to now if it's Kyle McCord, and that looks like the guy, the expectation is he'll be a top five draft pick in a couple years. And so I don't have a ton of hesitation, because in Ryan Day I trust at being able to, because he's done it now three cycles in a row at the quarterback position. This guy's going to eventually be a top five pick, and we'll see how it shakes out in Indiana week one.
Ben Hartsock joins us here. Sharp Money, of course, Ohio State, Sirius XM, Big Ten Radio, college football, Penn State. I'm not a big Franklin guy, and I'll leave that aside, but you can get into what you think about Franklin as a coach. But this could be. Now, remember, he's been there a while, Ben. It left Vandy, done a hell of a job. Penn State, kind of a little ebb and flow with popularity, but Aller's got some experience. He's a former five-star kid. That run game should be ridiculous. Tell me about Penn State.
Yeah, their talent measures up to Ohio State and Michigan, but their prove it doesn't. They haven't. Year in, year out, Penn State has won a bunch of games, but they haven't beaten Michigan. They haven't beat Ohio State yet. And so Drew Aller has a tremendous amount of anticipation for him to be given the keys. We're finishing the Sean Clifford era, and Penn State has a huge amount of hype. The way that they took care of business in the Rose Bowl against a gritty Utah team that's a tough beat, they've been enjoying a ton of hype. And so Drew Aller, a five-star that I kind of wonder if he wasn't cast off from Ohio State, a guy that's from the state of Ohio that Ohio State didn't take, would he be getting the same level of hype? But he is, and so there's a ton of expectation there. It hinges on his performance. They got some turnover at the wide receiver position. Parker Washington and Mitchell Tinsley is gone, but Keandre Lambert-Smith is expected to come in, and Dante Cephas, a Kent State transfer with a bunch of receptions from the MAC coming in. There's excitement there, but they've got the most beautiful specimen of human offensive line in Olu Fashanu, anchoring that offensive line. The guys, I've got a thing for offensive line, man. This guy's beautiful. I saw him. I went to the Auburn game last year, and I didn't know his name yet, but you're just walking on a sideline and all of a sudden you just see this Greek god of a human. He's just unbelievable. So they've got great talent at running back and offensive line. They've got a ton of optimism about their quarterback position and the defensive side of the ball. Like, quietly defensively, Penn State has been just churning out dudes. And right now it's Chop Robinson and Adisa Isaac at the D line position. Abdul Hodge is Abdul Carter is the linebacker. That's the next in great Penn State linebacker play. And then Kalen King, the cornerback, is going to replace Joey Porter Jr. They've got dudes at every level, and Manny Diaz has got that defense, attacking very, very well.
By the way, Abdul Hodge was good when he was at Iowa, so you're not wrong in that statement.
Yeah, I played against Abdul Hodge. Sorry, my wires got crossed there.
You're good. I want to ask you, Luke Fickell was on your team when you won the national championship with the Buckeyes, special teams coach with Ohio State, now takes over at Wisconsin. How good does this Wisconsin program potentially ascend to under his leadership?
Well, you've certainly seen he addressed some of Paul Chryst's shortcomings in the recruiting pipeline, the modernization of the recruiting department, the glitz and glamour. Paul Chryst kind of shunned that. Luke Fickell's not a glitzy, glamorous guy, but he recognizes what it needs to be. And I was joking with Luke because I know him personally about how they did a end of summer conditioning workout where it was like Squat-tober or whatever, squat fest and DJs and strobe lights. And like, it's everything against what he is. Like, the Luke Fickell I know was a state champion high school wrestler. He wants a dark, damp weight room with like staff growing on the weights. That's kind of his environment, but he knows that he's got to modernize. So he's a proven product as a developer and he's modernizing, but the hype around Wisconsin is Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator. And so he comes in as an air raid kind of guy, but they at North Carolina, where Phil Longo came, he had 2,000 yard rushers there. There's a ton of reason why I think this team is going to still run the ball. Braylon Allen's one of the best running backs in all of college football. It's just going to be through the modern lens of spread offense.
Ben Hartsock, great job. Go ahead, Amal.
Now I was just going to say real quickly, by the way, we talked about the Ohio State Michigan game. And he was part of the great speech by Jim Tressel. You'll be proud of our men off the field and in the classroom and in 116 days in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It was 310 in the speech, but I wanted to change it to today.
Luke's a guy that is a proven product. And I told this to Luke when I saw him. He was never a teammate of mine. He was a coach, but his legacy, even years after he left, he was still around. And I think that's a great credit to the impact he has.
Did an exceptional job at Cincinnati. Not a good job, exceptional. Ben Hartsock, you're the best. Thank you. We'll talk to you during the regular season. Breaking Major League Baseball news coming back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, we've got some Major League Baseball breaking news coming up in just a bit, so a perfect opportunity to let you know, download the DraftKings app today, and new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonuses instantly using the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, when you sign up. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Major League Baseball's trade deadline coming up in just about, what are we looking, 12:45 my time. So that is, we're about 2 hours and 15 minutes away. We do have another trade to report as we welcome you back here on Sharp Money. I'm Patrick Maher, of course, Amal Shah. It's good to see the boys, the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. Hey, by the way, you look svelte. Are you wearing, is it the darker shirt? Or, you know, we always talk about the more things change, the more they stay the same. I went away for a month. Are we the same weight? Did we lose some weight? Where are we at?
Oh, no. We're at maximum capacity. Like the fire marshal's about to jump in and get me a new belt because it can't go any further. No. I had an intervention with myself after my vacation, and things are changing for now.
Do you know how many times in all of the years that I've known you that those words that you just said verbatim came out of your mouth and told me, no, seriously, this time it's getting real. Just whatever. I'll talk to you off the air about it, you big dummy. Okay, so trade deadline coming up. We open the show with Justin Verlander. Fellas, that's huge. And Amal's been on Houston. He's headed back to Houston. Remember, he had a full no trade. For example, Rodriguez with the Tigers, he's got a minimal no trade. I think he picks 10 teams a year that he won't get traded to where he has to have say. Verlander could have stuck with the Mets. And I know, like Dustin Sweetelson and a lot of my friends are Mets fans, they wanted to keep him around for next year to be the horse, to be that starting pitcher one. So the idea that he's leaving now is going to be on the hook potentially for two more seasons into his 43rd year on the planet with the Astros. But the Astros needed to make a move with the injuries to the rotation and some underperformance. So that is where we'll start. And then we'll get into another move just made by the Phillies. Again, just to recap, Verlander to the Astros, Amal Shah.
Well, I think it's a huge acquisition. I think this makes them the prohibitive favorite in the American League. And for me right now, with the acquisition of Verlander, puts them on par with the Atlanta Braves because their starting pitching is far superior to Atlanta. When you look at the Braves, I don't know where you guys come out on this for starting rotation, guys. They're good. And they have an elite, elite offense. But Houston's got a very good offense with guys who've been there, done that. Yeah, Atlanta won the World Series a couple of years ago, and they didn't have Acuña in that postseason. But to me, in the playoffs, the games are 3-2, 4-3, 2-1 type of games. Verlander, Framber Valdez, and this rotation is a huge advantage. And think about it, over a 7-game series, if you can get through the LCS pretty quickly, you could be looking at a scenario where you've got those guys pitching in 57% of the games. That's a huge advantage.
Can I say this, big guy, about your Mets? First off, anybody crushing Cohen are just idiots. You have no clue what you're talking about. The dude came in, put his money where his mouth was. Wilpon were involved in Ponzi scams and weren't spending money. Number one market in the world. Cohen came in. Yes, he's annoying on social. Yes, he's a bit of a weirdo, but he came in and he spent a third of a billion of dollars. Like, I mean, the payroll was the highest in baseball by a long shot. Okay. Scherzer, everybody would have done it again with Scherzer. Everybody would have done it again with Verlander. And now he's paying for those guys to go away. One thing I will say about the Scherzer deal, they got Acuña Jr.'s brother back, right?
Yes. For Scherzer.
Okay.
Yes.
Those acting like you and I are big into, you know, recruiting those and the minors, those acting like this is a top 20 prospect. It's just not that. It's the name, Acuña Jr.'s brother. There's a long way to go with him, but they needed to move on from Scherzer, so there you go. Why are you laughing?
Well, because he's 21 years old, and at 21 years old, Ronald Acuña Jr. was in the majors. He hit
Correct.
280 with 41 homers, 101 steal RBIs, and 37 steals. So, yeah, you're dead on about that. A couple of things with the Mets. I preferred to keep Verlander to contend next year, and then you could potentially add Shohei Ohtani. You go Ohtani, Verlander, Senga to start your rotation, and that's obviously an upgrade over having Scherzer from this past year. I do think the Mets set a very dangerous precedent today by trading Justin Verlander. They basically told free agents, if you come here and we don't contend, we may not finish your contract here. So I think they may scare some people off from going to New York. Now, they are trading him to a World Series team in Houston, but I think for future free agents, I would be concerned about signing a 2 or 3 year deal with New York, knowing that if things don't work out, I may be on the move moving somewhere else.
Couple things. First of all, the reason I disagree with that is the Verlander Scherzer move is part of it is because of age. If these guys were 30 years old, they're not getting moved. This is part of where they're at. And the vesting part with Justin Verlander's contract next year, he's got to throw 140 innings in 2024 to have a contract for, I think, what, $43 million or $35 million vested in 2025. So that's part of the equation for the Mets. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, I know nobody's talking about this. Shohei Ohtani will be a New York Met next year. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to die on this hill, just like the San Diego Padres schedule in Georgia. This Mets team is getting rid of some of these guys that are older. They're going to have to make a splash. They tried to do it this year. It didn't work out the way they wanted. You're stuck with the Lindor contract. They are going to go get Shohei Ohtani. And everyone says he wants to be on the West Coast. Well, let me ask you this. How many times a year is he flying to Japan? Twice, three times? He can fly an extra 5.5 hours on the PJ. It will not be a problem when you're getting $500 million. You know how much yen that turns into?
I can guarantee you his accommodations won't be mine coming from Detroit to Los Angeles. Middle seat Spirit, but go ahead.
It might be middle seat, but in between somebody, two other people. But anyway, the point is, when you look at this team, they've got to get rid of some of these numbers on their payroll. They have absurd. Think about this. I think, is it Jeff McNeil or Brandon Nimmo? One of these guys is making $18 million in this team next
Nimmo,
year.
Nimmo makes about 20. McNeil makes, I think, 12 to 16.
The only way Brandon Nimmo's name should say $20 million next to it, it says indictment charges.
Oh, no, I disagree.
Come on.
Brandon Nimmo's an elite leadoff guy and, analytically speaking, one of the top 10 outfielders in the game.
Well, the analytics
are helping. Hold on. Everybody take a breath. There's a couple of things I've noticed. One, Amal is alert. The drugs are working. I mean, he's had a great first hour, 51 minutes of broadcast excellence. But here's something that I'm a little sullen about. Like, the whole time Amal's making points, Dustin is nodding his head in agreement, smiling. What happened in 31 days? Well, I left, and there was a contentious relationship. I come back, and you're besties? Like, did you guys go see Barbie together?
We had a come-to-Jesus moment yesterday in the parking lot. And I think helped iron out a lot of things.
I didn't hear about this.
It was helped by a couple of smoke shows.
Let me explain it. So you know how Amal and I argue over players like we just did Brandon Nimmo, we argued over Julio Urias? Well, he and I have an eye for the same talent, not necessarily in the sports field, that walked by us, and we bonded over that moment of realizing we saw 2 5-star recruits. Now, neither of us had the NIL deal in order to pursue them and get them to come with us. However, we identified their elite talent that they have.
I understand.
To his point, I made a point to Dustin this today when I came in. I said, let me tell you something. I am never leaving the house again without being pressed and dressed. I had a shirt on that just said dad bod all day. And let me tell you, no more. I'm coming out suited and booted, never missing another opportunity like that. Think about this. Every time you go to the grocery store and you look like a schlub, you see the best looking woman you've ever seen in your life.
That's facts. 100%.
I hate to agree with him. I have to agree. So my version of this is sometimes I eat so much in a day and so poorly that if a young lady was to invite me over or to hang out, I would feel so bloated and gross that there was no point in me saying yes. So I have, similar to Amal, he has to dress better. I have to eat like there's a chance a woman will invite me over every day.
You guys are both killing it. He goes suited and booted. You go eating and gross. What did you say about getting gross?
I don't even remember.
It was good. Totally honest. So a couple of things. One, so you're telling me 5 straight months of just contentiousness, and then all of a sudden the proclivities towards the opposite sex in the parking lot at South Point has changed the relationship. Is that the summation?
I will tell you this. I've lived in this town 9 years. I've lived in Los Angeles, by the way, number one city in the world, in my estimation, if you're looking at aesthetic appeal of the fairer sex.
Oh,
and,
it's not close.
And I lived in Miami Beach.
Great recruiting bed.
And Miami Beach, 5 stars everywhere between September and in May because of modeling season. But let me tell you right now, these were NIL top 10 rivals recruits. We had never seen anything like this in the history of the South Point. They probably got lost, but the reality of it is it worked out.
It messed up our – we were in the middle of a conversation. I go, you need to look to your right now, yeah. And I look the other way, and he went, okay.
I can say something about Los Angeles. If Shohei is into familiarity, he might want to stick on the West Coast. You feel me? Yeah. Secondly, we do have breaking news. We got Wes with the guide coming up, so why don't we quickly mention what happened with the Phillies. Looks like they added an arm, big guy.
Michael Lorenzen's heading from the Tigers to the Phillies. Really interesting pickup. A guy that everyone liked his talent was actually a two-way player at one point. He's now going back to the National League, joining the Phillies, who are in a playoff push once again to surprise everyone. And Lorenzen has had a very, very good year for Detroit. So I think it is a very strong pickup to lengthen out what is already a pretty deep rotation.
You know, the Cubs made a sneaky great move. Candelario's very good. Yeah. He was a Tiger for a long time, and the Nats do what the Nats should be doing. They pick up a good asset and hope to flip him. And the Cubs, who held on to Stroman, as Amal mentioned, and Bellinger, Candelario, he can play the hot corner. He can play all across the infield. Very good pickup as well as they chase the wild card. We're coming back with Wes Reynolds and the College Football Betting Guide next.